Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. How many were here last week? Okay, if you weren't, most of us here, if you weren't here last week, you need to get that CD. And let me just, while I'm on that, if you get the DVDs, all you get really is what was on TV, and that's just a little bit. But you need that, okay? Not because I did it, but you need it. And if you were here last week, you need to get that CD. You need it, okay? And we're talking about being led by the Spirit. We're talking about God leading us and hearing His voice. How many ever thought you heard something from God and you went ahead and did it, but then later on you found out that you must not have really heard that from God, but you knew you heard something? Okay, and that's all of us. We're all in that boat. But so I want to take up kind of off of last week, and I don't want to be too repetitious, but I just believe, church, I just believe this is the most important thing that we could ever learn. Matter of fact, it ought to be the very first thing we learn when we become a Christian. And from now on, that's what we're going to be focusing everything on, and that's hearing His voice. You know, we ought to know that that ought to be the very first thing that we go after and that we learn. And that's something that has to be learned. That's something that has to be cultivated and fed. And so I think I'll just start in John 14 today. For those of you that know, I've talked about John 14 through 17 for quite a while now, and I'm still there. That is Jesus when He was getting ready to leave, and he's telling us about sending the Holy Spirit back to us, and that's how we'll be able to hear Him and hear God. That's how we'll be able to be led, is through the Holy Spirit. And so not going to talk about that. I did some scriptures out of there last week, but that's the last words that Jesus spoke. You know, after 17, He went to the garden, and He spoke a little bit there, but when He got up out of the garden and He went and started being tortured and beaten and crucified, and He didn't talk much after that. But this is what He's telling us, and He's telling us that He's sending somebody back to lead us and guide us. And I'm just going to say, there should not be one child of God who isn't led by His Spirit. And all of us are trying to tune up and hear, and a lot of the things I say might seem elementary to you, but you know, sometimes we have to stir those things up. I'm learning now that after being saved, 41 years almost, or 42, I can't remember, but I'm just now starting to learn some of the things that I thought I knew 30 years ago. Anybody in that boat? How many here today? Okay, so now grunt every once in a while or yell or something, and that way you keep the people around you awake and you encourage me and I move faster. How about that? John 14:21, Jesus said this, and He said, "He who has My commandments and keeps them is he who loves Me, and he who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I'll love him and will manifest Myself to him or to her." Holy Spirit, I ask You come now with Your saving power. I ask that You come now with Your healing power. I ask anyone here that doesn't know that they're saved, before they walk out of here, they'll know You as their personal Lord and Savior. Anyone who came in here sick, I speak to that sickness and I say, in the name of Jesus, you leave. And if you'll check from this time on, you'll be getting better. You'll be getting better. I speak to that heart that's been a problem, and I speak healing into you, and I tell you, you be healed in Jesus' name. I speak to those kidneys, you start to function right in Jesus' name. Whew. Father, thank you, Holy Spirit. Let us hear and learn something about you now. He's saying here, I don't believe he's saying here, Hank, if you keep this set of rules, you'll love me. I think he's saying here, Hank, if you love me, you'll try to get close to me. If you love me, you'll try to walk with me. If you love me, you'll try to stay in this relationship with me. You'll be coming after me if you love me. And if you do that, I'll talk to you. And if I talk to you and you hear me and you do the things that I say, I'll manifest myself in your life. How many's ever had an area in your life you needed him to manifest himself? How many ever had a problem with a marriage? How many ever had a problem with sickness? How many ever had a problem with just how about debt? Not enough money at the end of the month. You just had a problem with not enough. You just had a problem, an emotional depression, discouragement. You had something in your life and you needed Jesus to manifest himself. Let me just say this. He's not trying to not talk to you. He's trying to talk to you. He's not trying to keep you from hearing. He's trying to get you to hear, because he has an answer for every problem, everything you get into. He has an answer before you ever get into it. And if we'll learn to hear his voice and listen, he'll lead us right on through those valleys and those hard times. Didn't say we wouldn't have them, just said we'd be led through them. Does that make sense so far? Okay, so how do we hear him? We need to learn how to hear him. And to do that, we need to understand that we are a three-part being. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." He says here, we're three dimension. That's the way to do it. Now that'll get me going faster. All right. We're three dimensions. We are a spirit. We live in a body, and we have a soul. If our body had a zipper on it and you could unzip it and step out of it, the body would fall and the spirit would be in the same shape as the body. The spirit would be the same thing, except that you just had a body on it, and that's how you live in the earth, is with this body. That's what happens when you die. You don't go into nothingness. You don't go into some place where, you know, maybe it'll be okay. No, when you do that, you your body falls, your body comes up, but the rest of you is still alive. And the rest of you spends eternity somewhere. Okay? And you have a control panel in this body. You have a body on. You have a control panel, and that's your soul. That's your mind. Okay? You with me? I know we covered a lot of this last week, but we have to get this in our minds, in our thinking. The real us is on the inside. That's the part of us that gets born again. And God puts a body on us. We are in a body, and we have a control panel. The control panel is what makes the body do whatever it does. It's what sends the messages to the body. It's what controls everything we do, everything we think. Our control panel. When you leave here, you still will be able to think and feel and reason, but you won't need your soul anymore. You won't need that control panel because you left the body. Somebody said, "Well, how come we're going to get a new body?" Because we're going to put on another body and we're going to live here again in the ages to come. Does that make sense? I didn't mean to get into all that, but I want you to realize we're three dimensions. We are a spirit, we live in a body, and we have a soul. Hebrews 4:12 says that also. It says, "The word of God is living and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul, spirit, and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now he says the three parts here. He says the soul, the spirit, and the joint and the marrow is the body. Okay? And he says, now the word of God, you know, the word of God helps us divide. How do we know if it's just our mind telling us something? How do we know if it's some signals that's come from our body? How do we know the difference? It says here the body, that the word of God will separate those things for us. The word of God will show us the difference. The word of God will be a discerner. It will discern those thoughts that are coming so that we know whether it was something our flesh was saying or something that we just thought was a good idea or whether it was something really God was saying. Does that make sense? Now, I don't want it. Does that make sense? If it doesn't, tell me, and I'll say it a different way. It's not going to do any good if I talk and you think I really said something good. The only thing that's going to be good, the only thing that's worth anything is if you understand something I say and God's able to do something in your life that he wasn't able to do before, or that he's able to do it better than he was able to do, or that you're able to hear him better. See, somebody already thought when I started this, well, I know how to hear God. Well, I know you know how to hear God. We all know how to hear God. We just always don't recognize that it is God. And we usually only try to hear him when we're in a jam, when we need something. But you know what? He'd like to tell us some things before we get in that mess to keep us from getting in it. Okay? And then sometimes he'll tell you some stuff because he knows you're going to get in a mess, but he'll tell you some stuff so you don't have to stay in that mess very long. And let me just say this, it's in the mess usually that you learn something. Okay? I'm trying to just say this where we can understand it. Go ahead and put the first graph up there, graphic, whatever we call those things. If you were here last week, you saw this, but how does he lead us? He leads us by an inward witness, mainly by an inward witness or an inward voice. Okay? And we need to learn how to hear the right things. Because a lot of folks are going around saying, well, God told me to do this and God told me to do that, when it was their flesh telling them or when it was their mind telling them and it wasn't really God telling them, and they get in a problem and then they get mad at God because they say, well, you told me to do this and God didn't told you to do that. Okay? So we are a spirit. The spirits where meaning, purpose, love resides. We have a soul. The soulish part of us is our personality, our thinking, our reasoning, our beliefs, our attitudes. How many ever had a bad attitude? See, that part's in your soulish realm. It's in your mind. How many ever had a good attitude? Let's don't just leave the bad stuff. Hey, okay. That's where it's at. It's in the soulish part of us. That's where our feelings are, our emotions. How many ever been just moved by emotions? And you just come apart, you know, and see, that's in our mind. And we need to learn the difference. That's where our memories are. But most important, that's where our will is. That's the part of us that makes choices. Is everybody hearing me? Is everybody hearing me? Okay, just stay with me a few minutes. Because once you, if you will get this picture in your mind, spirit, soul, and body, that's why I'm putting it up there again this week. Because if you get this picture in your mind, you'll never forget it, and it'll lead you, God will be able to lead you for the rest of your life. And we're getting ready to, we're already facing some things as a world, as a country, as a world, that we are going to have to hear God. Okay? If God says it's bad here, you need to get over there, I better be hearing, because I better not stay here and just keep staying here and keep going, oh God, Pete, help me, help me, help me. He said, I already told you to get over here. Because it's going to hit there. Make sense? Okay. But that's so anyway, our soul is where our will is. That's where we make our choices. Our body is made up of, you know, our skin, our tissues, our nerves, our brain, our organs, our cells. But the body operates in the realm of the five senses. The body is how you come in contact with the world. Your five senses. But here's the most important thing the body does. The body speaks and the body acts. Okay, are you with me? Spirit, soul, and body. And so in our mind is where we make our choices, and our body is where we act out those choices. It's where we talk. It's where we act. That's why it's so important that you believe in your heart and speak with your mouth that Jesus Christ was died and rose again. That you believe it in your heart and speak it with your mouth, and something happens in your spirit. Amen. That same principle applies to every area of your life. I'm not trying to go there today, but spirit, soul, and body. The spirit part of us, that's the part that got reborn. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we were made a new creation when we accepted Jesus. He created us new on the inside. That's the part that got born again. That's the part that we contact God with, and that we contact all the spirit realm with, is our spirit. Okay? It's not how much you do. It's not all this stuff. It's not, you know, getting the Ouija board out, and it's not getting all this. No, you contact Him with your spirit. Your soul is the where you contact your mental, in your reasoning, your intellect. And your body is how you contact the world. What you feel, see, smell, hear, touch. You know, you understand what I'm saying? So our body is what brings us in contact with the world. Our soul is what brings us in contact with our mind, our reasoning, our intellect, our mental intellect. And our spirit is how we come in contact with God and the spirit world. Now, if you don't have God, you can get in contact with the spirit world on the wrong side. That's how we have witchcraft and all the things going on. But all those things, and I don't know why I said that. Somebody listening to me, you've been involved in that a little bit. Let me just say that the power of Jesus Christ will break that yoke off of you, whoever you are. It'll break that yoke off of you. Anyway. Okay, so now our spirit, what's the voice? The voice of our spirit is our conscience. The voice of our soul is our reason. The voice of our body is our feelings, our five senses. You hear me? So we got voices talking to us. My body says, oh, huh? My mind's speaking to me. My body goes, oh. And my mind goes, whoop, you're getting it. But my spirit's saying, by His stripes you were healed. Does that make sense? Oh. Help me, Holy Spirit. Okay, let me. If God's going to speak to you, which avenue is He going to speak to you with? Through your spirit. Okay. What's the devil going to try to do? He's going to try to get control of that area, or keep you from having, keep you from being where you can hear. Okay, so he contacts us through the spirit. Go ahead and put the next. Graphed up there, whatever we call it. Is that a graphic or a, whatever it is? You look at it and keep looking at it. Let it get embedded in your mind. What did Confucius say? A picture is worth a thousand words. I don't know who Confucius was, but Jesus said, as you think in your heart, you'll be. And he said, as you see things, that's what you see, that's the way you'll be. And so when you see the things of God and the Word of God, that's what you'll see and that's what you'll be. Okay, the soul. The soul is where, and I need to go through this quick here, because the soul is where you feel emptiness, hopelessness, futility, lostness, loneliness. You see, that's where those things reside. Let me ask you, doesn't that describe an unsaved person? Huh? Lost, empty, hopeless, feel like you're nothing. See, that's not in your soul, that's in your spirit. So what happens when you get saved? He makes you a new creature in there, a new creation in there. And when you get saved, then you have hope. And you have some fulfillment. And you have that sense of belonging and worthfulness. I am worth something. I can do it. You have meaning. You know that you're loved by God. See, now think about that. Isn't that what everybody's going after? Isn't that, see, that is the missing, that's the void that's in every person. That area. And Jesus is the only one. That emptiness, that hopelessness, that fertility, that lostness, that loneliness. Jesus is the only one that can fill that void in your life. Now you got to understand this, because He's the only one that can take care of that. We try to solve those problems. That is a spiritual area. And if you're feeling those things, that's a spiritual problem. So He wants to bring hope into your life and fulfillment and meaning and let you know that you are worth something, that you are valuable to Him. He wants you to know how much He loves you. That's how He fills that void. And that's a spirit problem. You cannot solve that spirit problem with soulish ways. We try to. There's no natural solution for a spiritual problem. Now I'm going slow because I want you to get this. In the soul is where we suffer mental anguish. We feel emotional instability. How many of you just ever felt like, I'm just coming apart? I just don't know what's happened to my mind. I just don't know what's going on in my... That's in your soul. That's in your mind. That's in your mental intellect. That's where He paralyzes our will so that we don't try, we don't move, we don't step out in what God has for us. He brings that paralysis into our will, and fear grips our heart, and we're afraid to try, we're afraid to move. Now, with this area of your life, you cannot fix the... first, let me ask you, can you feel those things and still be saved? Sure you can. Sure you can. Most of us do. Because when we got saved, our mind didn't get saved, our body didn't get saved, our spirit got saved. Our spirit became new, but if you will, it was like a little baby. But see, when you got saved, your mind and your body already had control of your life. You were already set in your ways. How can I say that where you'll understand it? There was already those strongholds in your life. And Jesus said, came to say, remove those strongholds. And what did Paul say? Paul said, renew your mind. He said, cast down all the imaginations, cast down every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God before it comes as a stronghold in your life. Well, Say, well, it's too late for me. It's already a stronghold. Yeah, but it's not too late. That's the good news. Jesus will help you. He'll set you free. He'll break those chains off of you. And everyone in here has some chains. Everyone listening to this on CD or DVD, you have some chains. And He wants to break them. Now our body is where the five senses work, and that's where we feel sickness, disease, weakness, pain. I'm trying, man. I'm trying. You got to understand, your mind, your soul, your mental intellect can bring some temporary fixes in your life. But you got the spirit has to grow. The spirit person in you has to become full grown. It has to grow because you have to be led by it. You have to be led by the real you. Well, if I just drink enough, I won't feel lonely anymore. How many ever tried that? How'd that work for you? I have to raise all my hands and all my feet on all that stuff, okay? Well, I'll just do some drugs. Well, now, you know, that doesn't work, does it? I mean, it worked for a season, because sin's fun for a season. But then you find out it isn't what you thought it was. But you know, but there's somebody listening to me, and you never did any drugs, you never drank. Matter of fact, you never even smoked a cigarette in your life. But those strongholds still could. I'll fix this thing. I'll change partners. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, we come up with mental fixes. Well, if I would just move, well, if I would just go to, if I'll just go to another church, or if I'll just go to another town, or if I'll change my geography, if I'll move my body, things will be better. Trying to fix spiritual problems with natural means, and it'll work temporarily. But you're right back, and then you find out what he was talking about when he says, hey, when the house is clean and the spirit leaves and you don't do something with the house, then the spirit will come back on it. He'll bring seven more with him, and your shape will be worse. You'll be in worse shape then than you were before you ever cleaned up the house. Well, put the next one up there. We're spirit. We're soul. We're body. Here's how it happens. Here's the process. The Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit. He doesn't speak to your mind. He speaks to your spirit. Now, He'll go through your mind to get to your spirit, because He has to. But he speaks to us with the written word, and He speaks to us with revelation. Amen. And let's just clarify revelation, because we get all spiritual and all spooky when we hear some of these words. But all revelation comes just through experience, just through relationship. So every time you think about some revelation from God, why don't you just think about relationship with God? Because what I'm learning is that I look at the Word, I read the Word, and it becomes a pattern, and it goes into my spirit, and it strengthens me, and it's powerful, and it's sharp, and it helps me decide, it helps me discern what my body, my flesh is telling me, or what my mind's telling me, or what God's really telling me. So our spirit speaks to our spirit. And I feel like I'm chopping some of this off because I feel like that when I say something, then the Holy Spirit might take you to a different dimension, a different place than I was actually going to take you, because you see, this is all a personal journey. This is all personal relationship. He said, work out your own salvation. That doesn't mean there's more than one way to be saved. That just means work out your life. You got to learn for yourself. You got to get this relationship, this place with God for yourself. You can't rely on Hank's place or anybody else's place. You got to have your place, because Psalms 91 says, if you'll dwell in the secret place of the Most High. You ought to read that when you go home. All these things, He'll take care of all these things in your life. If you'll dwell there, if you'll live there. But my secret place isn't your secret place. We all have a secret place. You don't have to think like me, thank God. You don't have to be me. You be you. You're getting more than you paid for today, and we ought to take an offering at the end, but we won't. We won't. But help me, Holy Spirit. We hear with that inward witness and that inward voice. The Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit, then our soul thinks about it. Because, see, we choose what we think. Huh? The thoughts come, but we choose which ones we hang on to and which ones we meditate on. And at the same time, our body is receiving information from the five senses. Man, it's hot, it's cold, it doesn't look good, it doesn't feel good. Man, I just don't know, man. I hurt here, and oh man, I'm getting so old. And then your mind agrees with one or the other. How many here is over 50? Now you young folks will laugh at this, but your turn's coming. How many over 60? I still got my hand up. How many over 70? If you don't watch it, your body will start sending you messages. It'll start sending you signals. I'm not saying you ignore what's going on, because sometimes the body will say, you hurt here, put a Band-Aid here. You hurt here, fix this, fix that. But what I'm saying is, if you don't watch it, your body will convince you that you're getting old and you're just about done and it's just about over, and your mind will agree with it. And pretty soon everything you'll be saying, I'm getting old, man, I'm just going on, I'm dead. I shared this with somebody the other day. It's been a couple years ago. I'll be 66 next month. But a couple years, that's young, isn't it? See, I was thinking that was old, but man, that's young. I still got 30 more years at least left. So that's young, see? Huh? I'm sorry I limited it there. I don't know, you know, but 30 seems like a lot now. Now in 29 years, it won't seem like very much. But I started thinking, and I thought, man, I'm getting old. How long have I got left? I've probably just got a few years left, and I probably just left. And then pretty soon I was discouraged, and I was depressed, and I was on my way out, and I was thinking about quitting and giving up, and oh, I just say, well, woe is me, oh. And my spirit started telling me something else. This is the day the Lord's made. I've got big things for you. I'm not done with you. Do you remember when you were 20 and I told you this? Do you remember when you were 30 and I told you you'd do this? And when you was 35 and I said I was going to do this to you? Have you ever done those things? No. Well, then I'm not done with you yet. I still want to bring those dreams to pass. I still want to make those things happen in your life. You say, well, Hank, you know, we all get... I know, but you can sure have a better trip if you think the right way. Jerry was going blind. He said, man, I can't see. I can't hardly see to drive. I can't hardly do anything. And he came in today without any glasses. And I went, I almost didn't recognize him. Now he can see. Now he can see. He's going the other way. I got an idea, Jerry, and some of the rest of you. Why don't we just get in our second childhood and let's just get going here? Huh? Well, anyway. I've got to finish up here. I'm almost out of time. But anyway, are you getting the thing? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit talks to our spirit. Our soul chooses what we think about. Our body sending us signals. Now here's the way it's supposed to work. The Holy Spirit is supposed to speak to our spirit. Our spirit is supposed to speak to a renewed mind, renewed with the Word of God. And then our spirit and our renewed mind is supposed to tell our body what to do. Now it will, that's the way it will work. Your body will come in line with what your spirit and a renewed mind tells it to come in line with. Now it might not happen in 30 minutes because you've been that way for 50 years. Or you've been thinking that way for 60 years. So it might not happen in 30 days, but if you set your mind to it, your body will start getting better. It'll start coming in line as you renew your mind with the Word and with revelation, and your spirit gets stronger. That's the way it's supposed to work. And don't get that your body's bad and that your mind's bad. Well, God created all those things. He created us, created them all to work together. He created them to work with us, with a born again, with a renewed spirit, with a new spirit within you. And listen, man, there's some of you that have dreams that nobody's ever dreamt, and God's going to bring them to pass. Your mind's going to cause you to do the things that need to be done to bring those things to pass. See, I'm not saying, well, then, okay, I don't need to get an education. No, man, you need to go for it because God's got a calling on your life. He's got something for you that nobody else can do as good as you. You need to go for the gold. Amen. Well, I don't know. Let me read you some scriptures. Where are we going? Where does all this take us? Where's the Holy Spirit trying to take us? Leave that up there for a few minutes, I guess. Or is anybody still taking notes on that? Or I'll tell you what, when I read these scriptures, then put it back up after I read them. Romans 8 says, where are we going? Where's the Holy Spirit trying to take us? Let me read you. Verse 14 through 17 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. For you didn't receive a spirit of bondage, of fear, but you received a spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." What's happening? You're receiving this spirit. What did we talk about? This spirit of meaning, and the spirit of belonging, and the spirit of you are worth something. You understand what I'm saying? The spirit of, man, my God, I love you. You're my daddy. You're not just my father. You're my daddy. Bring us into that relationship with Him. Says it's the Spirit Himself that bears witness with our spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that tells our spirit we're really children of God. And He also tells us that if we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and all He has. Yeah. And we're heirs with Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus. Do you understand? He's trying to say, and that's what Jesus said, everything I have is yours. Everything Father has is mine. And that's why the Holy Spirit's coming, so He can declare to you, He can reveal to you everything I have, and it's all yours, and it glorifies me if you'll walk in that. Well, get the sweat out of my eyes, and it's not hot in here, but I'm just jumping around too much. Oh, God. Anyway, let me read real quick here because I'm running out of time. Verses 27 through 30, I'll read that real quick. Now He, the Holy Spirit, He searches the hearts. He knows what the mind of the Spirit is, or He knows what the mind of God is. And because He makes intercession for the saints, He makes intercession for you, for me, according to the will of God. Okay, that's just saying, He said, He knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. He knows where you are in your growth. The Holy Spirit knows everything about you. And He also knows the will of the Father for you, for your life. So that's what He's interceding. He's pulling us that direction. Does that make sense? He's leading us that direction for everything that God has for you. And so then if He's leading us, this is verse 28, We like to pull that out and just say it. Huh? We just like to pull it out and just say, oh, everything works for my good. No, it doesn't. It works for your good if you're being led that direction, if you're going after the purpose of God. It works for your good. Everything the devil tries, he'll take it and turn it around. Let me read it. And we know that all things work if we're being led, if the Holy Spirit's interceding, if he's telling us, what did it start off there? It said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Verse 14. He says, and we know then, verse 28, we know then if that's happening in our lives, we know that all things work together for those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined and to be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, who he predestined, those he also called, who he called, he also justified, and those who he justified, he also glorified. Glory to God. What's he saying? Where's he leading us to? He's leading us to a place. He's trying to conform us into the image of his Son. He's trying to make you just like Jesus. Oh, it's sacrilegious. Baloney. We need to quit listening to what some man's mind has told us and start listening to what the Holy Spirit of God's telling us. And we're not going to survive this last day, this last effort here, if we don't get next to God and if we don't have him and if we don't realize who we are in him and begin to operate in that. Well, that's another message. That's where the Holy Spirit's leading us. He's leading us to make us just like Jesus. What does verse 22 say? It says, for we, I'm backing up a little bit. He says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. The whole world, the whole creation groans and labors. It's groaning. I don't have time to read all that. It's groaning because it's waiting to see the sons of God. It's waiting to see you and me and others rise up and realize who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen. All of creation is groaning for that, waiting for that. Say, well, waiting for Jesus to come back. I know, but he's trying to come back through us so then he can come back in the physical. Amen. And yes, he's going to come back in the physical. He's going to come get us. It's that part without spot or wrinkle that's kind of on my mind right now. So, I can do more. I can try harder. That ain't going to work. I've been doing that for 40-some years. No, Holy Spirit, make me that bride without spot or wrinkle. You know the direction. You make me. Okay, so if that's where God's leading us, let me read you real quick out of 1 Peter. So then what's the devil trying to do? Where is 1 Peter? Is that in the Bible? There, 1 Peter 5. He says, therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and exalt, that he may exalt you in due time. That's not hunkering down. That's not saying you're a nobody. That's not saying you're worthless. That's not all this false humility. No, that's saying, God, it doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter how good I do. Doesn't matter how good I do, how much I'm able to do. I can't do anything without you. Amen. Humble ourselves. See, it's not, I'm not going to do nothing. It's no, I'm going to do more, but I can't get it done. It's all because of you. Okay, anyway. It says, casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Now, this is where I wanted to get. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So resist him steadfast with your faith, knowing that the same afflictions that you're experiencing, your brothers are too. It says, but may the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, he'll perfect you, he'll establish you, he'll strengthen you, he'll settle you. Get your mind off the suffering for a while and realize what he's saying there lines up with what we just read in Romans chapter 8. It lines up with what he just said in Romans 8. Where's Romans? Man, it keeps moving that stuff in my Bible. Romans 8, he says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That lines up with that. He says, that's okay. He says, okay, the devil's going to come around. He's going to be trying to get you. He's going to be causing all kinds of problems, but that's okay. Just grab hold of your faith. Just resist him with your faith. That's not resisting with what I can do, or that's not saying, well, I did this stuff wrong, I'm going to straighten that stuff out. No, that's not saying that. That's saying resisting with your faith. What's faith? My faith is in Jesus. I know I can't do anything without him, but I know he already did everything, and my faith is in him. And even though it looks like a valley, even though it looks like I'm about to be devoured, I know, devil, you don't have any teeth because Jesus kicked them out of you, and you're toothless, and you can't, all you can do is roar like a lion. You're not a lion, because I know the real lion, and his name is Jesus. My faith. I know you're trying to. Do you see how's the devil gonna operate? Now get this, and then we'll quit. The only way. See, we're giving the devil too much credit. We're giving him too much power. The devil has no power over you. Okay, I know we clap, and I clap too, but now after a while, when the devil's on me, I'll have to remember this. Because I won't feel nothing, and I won't think it's going to work. But I'll have to remember it, because I am going to have to go through something. I am going to have to face some things. You with me? Amen. Corey Ten Boom said whenever the night comes in your life, and I'm not doing it word for word, but whenever the nighttime comes in your life, you have to remember the God that spoke to you in the light, because the guy that spoke to you in the light, the God that spoke to you in the light is the same God that's carrying you through in the dark. Amen. So I resist him. How's he going to come at you? He's going to come at you through the area of your five senses. Amen. Do you understand that your flesh, your body, and your spirit are fighting for control of your mind? Because if it gets the control panel, it can make it go wherever it wants to go. Yep. Now I realize that I'll have to say this a whole bunch of times. Because, see, we've been listening to our mind so much, and we've been listening to our flesh so much, that it's hard to recognize spiritual things. But I'm telling you something. Jesus already defeated the devil for you. He already dethroned him. He already stripped all his power. He already stripped everything. The only area the devil has to operate, you remember Jesus said that the God of this world is going to try to get you guys? Told his disciples that. The God of this world. See, he's saying the God of the natural, the God of the flesh. That's what happened when Adam turned everything over to the devil. Help me, Holy Spirit. So now the only area that he has to operate in is the physical realm. But now if he can do enough stuff in the physical to convince your mind, your mind will override what the Spirit of God's telling you. So it depends on which one's the strongest. You remember the old Cherokee legend? I know most of you have heard it, but the little boy comes to his grandpa and he says, "Grandpa, I feel like there's a battle going on inside of me." And the grandpa looks at him and says, "Well," he says, "there's two wolves inside of you." He said, "One is full of anger and envy and sorrow and regret and greed and arrogance and self-pity and guilt and resentment and inferiority and lies and false pride and ego." And he said, "But there's another wolf inside there, a good wolf," and said, "He's full of joy and peace and love and hope and serenity and humility and kindness and benevolence and empathy and generosity and truth and compassion and faith." And the little boy says, "But Grandpa, which wolf wins?" And the grandpa said, "The one you feed." Now, I'm trying to say all this stuff simple, because this is simple. We're the ones that made it hard. Because you see, we preachers, we want to teach in depth, and we want to tell you some mysteries, and we want to convince you how smart we are. So you go away and say, "Oh, Pastor's so smart. Oh, he's so wise. Oh, he..." But you know, the problem is, most of you have known me most of your life, and you know better. So I can't fool you. No, I want you to know Jesus. I want you to know Him. I want you to hear Him. See, I don't have to know everything, because I know the one that does know everything. Do you understand the battle? Let me ask you something, and don't raise your hand on this, but when you wake up on Sunday morning, and your mind decides to not go to church. Now see, I'm talking to you because you're here, so you know. But your mind decides to not go to church. Did your spirit speak that voice, or did your flesh speak that voice? See, just start thinking about different situations in your life. You see, whenever something inside of you said, "You know, I need to start tithing," then something else rose up and said, "Oh, but I can't afford to." Where was that voice coming from? Was it coming from your flesh? Or was it coming from your spirit? See, when something inside of you said, "Hey, you know that person over there said they don't go to church anywhere. I need to go ask them," but you didn't do it. What stopped you from doing it? Was the voice of your spirit stopped you, or was it the voice of your flesh stopped you? "Well, I just don't know." And then your mind started agreeing with you. "I just don't know. I don't know. They probably would reject me, and I hate rejection. I thought about it though. I thought about asking them." I wonder how many people, I'll just say with me, I wonder how many people, when I get to heaven, am I going to see and they say, "Gosh, I'm here because you invited me to church," or "I'm here because you talked to me," or "I'm here because you brought that meal over to me," or I'm here because you did this or you did that or you said this or you said that." I wonder if we could look into hell, how many people would say, "Boy, you remember that time, Hank, that something inside of you told you to come witness to me and you didn't do it. And look where I'm at now. I'm here for eternity." See, do you understand the war that's going on? God's trying to get us to be led by the Spirit. He's not trying to get a part-time job. He's trying to come into us and make His home in us. We are the temple of the living God. He's trying to move and operate through us. He's saying, "Everybody that's here today, if you'll let me lead you and guide you by my Spirit, I'll make you, I'll conform you into the image of my Son Jesus. And then we can get the job done." Well, you see, and it didn't just work. It doesn't do me any good to come ask you to go to church if the Holy Spirit hadn't already been talking to you about coming. But see, here's the problem. The Holy Spirit's been talking to you about coming, and I don't go and ask you. You hear me? Read Romans 10. How can they hear unless... How can they get saved unless they believe? And how can they believe unless they hear? And how can they hear unless somebody tells them? And how can somebody tell them if they're not sent? Oh, let's see. What did Jesus say? He said, "Go into all your world and tell everybody about me." I guess we're already sent. So that means we ought to go. That means we ought to tell them so that they can believe, so that they can be saved. Not only that, but and I'll finish here. I'm going to finish with John 16, verse 33. But do you understand what I'm saying? This battle's going on. Everything in your life, the devil doesn't have any power. He doesn't have, the only control he has in your life is what you give him. So he sends signals through the natural. He sends signals in hopes that he can convince your mind. Because I know, see, it's all right. I don't have nothing, but my mom didn't have nothing, and my grandmom didn't have nothing, and her mom didn't have nothing, and so I don't have nothing. And you see the strongholds. My dad got sick when he was 50, and he died when he was 52. So that means that I'm getting sick when I'm 50, and I'm probably going to die because his dad got sick when he was 50, and he died when he was in his 50, and his dad before him did. Do you see what happens to strongholds in our lives? He has no authority over you. He comes in the natural physical world, and tries to get control of your mind. Because see, we got a free will. And our mind chooses what we think about. Our mind chooses what we decide to do. Don't you fall off the wagon and say, "Oh, the devil made me do it." No, you just wanted to do it more than you not wanted to do it. We all got areas of weakness. See, I can sit here and talk about drugs because when I got off drugs, I just got off of them. And so it's easy then to talk about, you ought to try harder. You got to just keep hanging in there. Everybody can quit drugs. You know, well, but hold it though. But you know, I have a bigger battle with food than I did drugs. Oh, let's don't talk about that. I quit drugs. I can't quit food. It's just terrible. What is your vice or what is your thing? What's your attitudes and things? Let me finish with this. John 16:33. He says he's told them all this stuff, and he's getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to pray for the disciples and pray for us in chapter 17. In case you didn't know. But he says this, and I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified so you understand it. It says, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you'll have tribulation, trials, distress, frustrations." Anybody have any of those things? Three of us? All right. In the world you're going to have trials, not you're going to escape them. I'm telling you all these things. I'm telling you, I'm sending this guy back. I'm sending our spirit back to lead you and guide you. This is why I'm sending him back. He says, I tell you these things because you're going to have all these problems in the world. But you can be of good cheer. Or in other words, you can take courage. You can be confident, certain, and undaunted. Now, if you can trust the Amplified Bible, okay? You can trust it. And when you see the little brackets, that's just some words trying to explain what he just said so you understand it better. He says, so be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, be certain, be undaunted, for I have overcome the world. And this is what he's saying, and if you could read it in the Greek. He says, I have deprived it of its power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. Wow. Do you see what's going on? Now just think about it. You don't have to know it all right now, but just think about it. Because I've tried to give you something today so that the Holy Spirit then could take you to the next place. He could lead you and guide you into what God has for you. Not that you'd fit into what He has for me or what I think you ought to do or anything else, but so that He can lead you and guide you. And a little warning about this. Just when you start hearing God, I know we're a little past time. Is that okay? I'll quit early next week. Make up for it. How about that? When he starts telling you something, well, when you hear God and you know you heard God, if you're not careful, you go, I hear God. See, if you're not careful, when he starts speaking to you, you think you know everything. But when he spoke to you, he just told you a little bit of what he knows. You with me? And so we got some Christians that are still babies, and they think they're walking giants because God spoke to them. And we got some that are teenagers, and you know, teenagers know everything, you know. But we got some that go ahead and grow up, and we're listening, and he's speaking, but I go, well, God, I believe that's you. I'm gonna try the Spirit here. I'm going to try it, but I believe that's you, but I'm going to do something. I'm going to move that direction, and if that's not the direction, then I trust you to get me right back on track, but I am going to move. I am going to do something. Does that make sense? Isn't it amazing how God will give us a little bit of revelation, and we want to start a denomination? Who did you hear his teaching? Hold it. I'm trying to hear his teaching. If what his teaching is, if it lines up with what his teaching is, then now we got something. We can go here. Well, some more next week. I'll try to not chase so many rabbits next week. Did you get anything that'll help you today? Everybody pray something with me here. Everybody pray something with me here. Just say, Holy Spirit, teach me what I just heard. Lead me and guide me. I want to learn to hear your voice. I want all that God has for me. And I thank you for that. Do you receive that? See, you just make a choice. It's your will. You make a choice. He does all the work. He'll just show you what to do. He'll say, step over here, Hank. Read this, Hank. Turn on and listen to this, Hank. Move over here, Hank. Do this, Hank. Do that, Hank. And everything that happens, he said, nope, nope, nope. I didn't say move there. I said, get over here. Okay, okay. Everything that happens, he adjusts and he works. And I get over here and I mess up. But he takes all that stuff that's happening to me and he makes me stronger. And he teaches me something out of it. And he works it for my good. And see, when we're on that path, we can't lose. I mean, even if you lose, you win. Does that make sense? Say, well, that sounds awful complicated. No, it just starts with saying, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I trust you with it all. I just trust you with it all. And I wonder in here who hadn't done that today. If you haven't done that right now, if you don't know for sure right now that you're saved, I'm not going to ask you to come down now, but as soon as we dismiss, I want you to come down and let one of us pray with you. But if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know him right now, just say, Jesus, come into my heart. I choose you. I don't want to live the way I've lived. I want to live the way you want me to live. And I choose you and I trust you. I need your help. And you can say that under your breath right now. And it'll happen. It'll happen. Now, as soon as I dismiss here, I want you, if you prayed that, I want you to come down. Or if you want to pray that, I want you to come down. One of us will be here. We'll pray with you. Matter of fact, if you have anything that you'd like somebody to agree with you and pray with you about, we'll have somebody down here. We have prayer partners down here that'll help you, okay? I want to say one more thing. Let me ask you, is there any empty chairs around you? Okay? Tell you something God started telling me a few weeks ago. He said, start seeing the place full. And start telling the people to invite people. So start seeing the house full. So now when I come in, I see it full. Well, that's silly, Hank, I know, but the things of God always seem silly to the natural mind. But here's why they're full. I was supposed to say this last week and I didn't. And I got a spanking this week because of it, okay? So if you know me, you know I don't say things like this. But God has put an anointing on me to get people saved. It's always been on me. I've probably got more people saved by accident than on purpose. I'm not saying that I've operated that gift the way I was supposed to operate it all the time. But there's an anointing. I have an anointing to get people saved. Do you know anybody that's not saved? If you do, you need to get them here because God will save them. It's not because of me, it's because His anointing will be here to save them. Does that make any sense? Visitors, I hope. Talk to somebody that's been around here for a while and they'll tell you that that's not ego talking or that's not any bragging on me. That's bragging on God. See, God... And not only that, but there's an anointing on this place. Now I'm going to really say something silly now. Because I believe that everybody that comes in these doors are going to feel the presence of God like they never felt it before. And that Holy Spirit's going to be drawing them and pulling them. Because see, that anointing's not just on Hank. That anointing's on us as a church. Always has been. And it always will be. God said, I have a mandate for Central Christian Center. Now, just because He has a mandate doesn't mean it'll happen. It happens if we believe it and we decide to do it. 2 weeks ago, was the place almost full? How come? Well, it's because one lady asked 200 people that week. One guy handed out 300 or 400 flyers, him and his family, that week. I'm just saying something. See, I just believe God, by His Spirit, will lead you this week and guide you, and He'll bring you across people, and He'll have them ready to hear. Some of them, if you just say, hey, do you have Jesus in your heart? And they'll say no, and He's already been dealing with them, and He'll do it. Some of them, you just say, hey, do you go to church anywhere? And they say no, and they say, would you like to come? And they say, yeah, we've just been waiting for somebody to ask us. That's all of God. Hey, I love you, and I'm proud of you, and I'm honored to be your pastor. And I am excited about what God's beginning to do in our church. I'm excited about it. If you haven't watched the broadcast, he's telling me things to start. We're trying to change the broadcast where we reach the people out there. I just think we're at the end time. It's just about done. It's just about over. We're going to see Him in a couple minutes. And I'm telling you, He's pulled all the stops out, and He wants to get everybody saved, everybody into the family that He can get into the family. Anyway, everybody stand. Thank you for staying this extra few minutes, and I promise I'll quit early next week. But I speak His blessings on you. And I believe Him to do big and powerful things in your life this week. I believe some of the things you've been believing for and you really maybe even never dreamed that they'd really happen, some of those things are going to happen in your life this week. So you walk and you be blessed and know that you walk in His favor. His glory is all over you. His anointing is all over you. His favor is all over you. And everywhere you go, somebody's going to notice it. They're going to feel it. They're going to know it. You receive that? Hey, I love you. Thank you for putting up with me. If you prayed or you got saved or you want to get saved or you want somebody to pray with you about something, come on down. We'll be happy to do it. Love you. Promise next week, shorter.